It is a disease that a lot of people aren't familiar with because it's an emerging disease. It's a fairly new disease. Think of it in that regard, like SARS or HIV and many other emerging diseases. But it's a transmissible infectious disease of cervids, meaning it is known to infect only deer species, and it only occurs in North America. So white-tailed deer, mule deer, and elk were the only affected animals until 2005, when moose in Colorado and then subsequently in Wyoming and Alberta were also found to carry the disease. So of all of our North American cervids or deer family species, only caribou don't have it yet, but that's probably only because they haven't been exposed. And it's considered an emerging disease because it was only first identified in the 1960s in research facilities in northeast Colorado and southeast Wyoming. And then by the 1980s, it had infected wild deer and elk in both of those states, and its distribution has expanded. As an emerging disease, scientists are still learning about chronic wasting diseases epidemiology, which means how it infects its hosts, how it's transmitted and spread, and what factors cause it to increase in prevalence in a population. Once it gets to a population, how high will the infection rate be, and what causes that? It's actually one of a group of very unique diseases called, I'll say this slowly, transmissible spongiform encephalopathies. And what that means is transmissible, of course, means it can be transmitted from one animal to another, and actually indirectly through environmental contamination, which is a very important aspect of the ecology of the disease.
Contamination in this case meaning what?
Infectious agents from an infectious animal that has the disease, can be spread in the environment through feces, urine, saliva, and carcasses. We know from very recent research in the last 5-6 years that all of those forms of tissues or excreta can cause it to be spread in the environment, and it accumulates in the environment in soils. And that way it can indirectly affect other animals by contamination of soils, presumably maybe plants and even water. So that's a way without animals nose-to-nose through, say, saliva, mutual grooming, that sort of thing, can spread the disease. And we think it's probably the most important way that it's spread. What's scary about that is the agent that causes the disease is resistant to environmental degradation, so it accumulates over time. And one study showed that in a related form of this disease agent that affects domestic sheep, and a disease called scrapie, persisted in the environment for 16 years and could infect sheep after that. So it's really different than the diseases we think of that are caused by bacteria and viruses and rickettsia, that those agents tend to break down in the environment and don't remain infectious for long periods of time.
So I'm not comparing it to anthrax, but in a way it stays around in the environment, such as anthrax does, is that correct?
Yeah, and anthrax is a good comparison because anthrax can remain in soil for a long time, and we can think of cases in Montana where that's happened with bison in particular.
Yeah. So then what is the difference between chronic wasting disease and mad cow disease?
Okay, so I mentioned CWD, chronic wasting disease, and it's easier just to use the abbreviations for these things instead of saying them all the way out. But CWD is in a group of what are called transmissible spongiform encephalopathies. They're transmissible, they affect the brain, that's where the encephalopathy comes from, and they're spongiform in the sense that when scientists dissect an animal and remove brain tissue, take a slice of that, put it on a microscope slide, and stain it, the brain looks spongy like Swiss cheese. And what is happening is the central nervous system is degenerating. The brain is dying, essentially.
So then how do the symptoms of chronic wasting disease, CWD, how do they present?
Well, they present in various ways, and if a person is not familiar, or even people who are familiar, may not understand that it's CWD because many diseases have somewhat similar symptoms. The classic ones with CWD is the animal, it's called chronic wasting disease, and the animal wastes away. It's not feeding effectively, the animals become lethargic. They spend a lot of time around water, drinking, salivating severely, and as the central nervous system begins to degenerate, they lose neuromotor function. They become very passive. They don't respond to stimuli in their environment. For example, humans can approach animals in late-stage CWD, and they hardly respond, which means that they tend to get hit on roadways if they're near roadways because they're not attentive to their surroundings. And in time, this wasting away, the body mass, as well as the degeneration of the central nervous system, causes death. And the common thing about mad cow disease, chronic wasting disease, and related transmissible spongiform encephalopathies is that they all are 100% fatal. There's no way to prevent them, no way to cure them.
Sounds like a dreadful thing, huh?
It's about as bad as we can think of. And truly, in terms of a wildlife disease, the only other wildlife disease that I can think of that is 100% fatal or nearly 100% fatal is rabies. Most other diseases have a case fatality rate something less than 100%, often much less than 100%, but not with these diseases.
Bruce, I'm not sure if this information is entirely up to date. Tell me if it's not. Montana's had a brush or two with CWD back in the late 90s with game farms, but to the best of my knowledge, chronic wasting has not been detected in any of Montana's wild herds. Is that still correct?
You're right. You've done your research. There was one case in a game farm in Granite County near Phillipsburg. It was detected in 1998 or 1999. That was, I believe, an elk game farm. And the state officials did the proper thing. They went in and investigated it. Once they had determined and diagnosed that some of the tissue samples did test positive for chronic wasting disease, they depopulated that game farm. They killed all the animals. And that's really the only way to deal with chronic wasting disease is to kill all the animals. Now, it's been a disease that has been through lots of game farms across North America, including Canada. Canada's had it in Alberta and Saskatchewan, and it's been in quite a number of U.S. states. And that's the way it's typically dealt with. The herds are depopulated, and that's because there's no way to cure it. You wouldn't want the animals to leave the facility, and presumably everyone's going to die anyway. And so that's what happened at Phillipsburg, and then the state did test animals in the vicinity, which means they went in and actually killed wild deer, I think, that were in the vicinity within a certain radius of the vicinity of that game farm, and they found no positives. And so to date, Montana, as far as we know, and you can't prove the negative, of course, as far as we know, it does not have chronic wasting disease, but it's right up against Montana's southern border because two-thirds of Wyoming now is CWD-infected,
yeah,
deer, elk, and moose.
And that's where I wanted to go next. What explains this stark difference between Montana and Wyoming?
Well, the big difference is that there was a nexus. There was a place where it began in Wyoming as well as northeast Colorado, and it got into the wild. That didn't happen in Montana. You have to have some place for the agent to, you know, take hold, and then it has the potential to spread. And because it's been so long established compared to that 1999 episode over in Phillipsburg, because it's been so long established in Colorado and Wyoming, it's had a lot of time to spread. And that's because the animals that are infected can move across the landscape, or healthy ones move into areas where there are infected animals. And this seeding of the environment with the infectious agent, which is a proteinaceous particle, it's called a prion, that has been going on for a long time, and so animals that come into contact with those environments then become exposed. I would also say that Montana's been lucky.